Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a Friday edition of the Raiders Talk Podcast here on June 19th. I'm Scott Baer with my co-host, Josh Schrock. We do this twice a week now, and I'm sure that you guys at this point are catching a theme. We're going through the 2020 Raiders draft class and trying to really get to know these guys. More than just analyzing what we've read on draft profiles, we're going to the source. We're talking to college beat writers from each one of these guys' hometowns, guys who have seen every practice that they're allowed to see, every game snap, and really trying to get to know these guys and how they tick. And this episode is based upon University of Kentucky product Lynn Bowden Jr., who we should just call an athlete. Josh, he played quarterback, he played wide receiver. He was the team's leading wide receiver and rusher in the same year last year. And he comes out, he has a lot of versatility. I'm pretty excited to get to know Lynn Bowden Jr. with Lexington Herald leader, Wildcats football beat writer Josh Moore. It's going to be an interesting conversation because the guy did so much for the Wildcats. It'll be interesting to hear what his college experience was like.
Yeah, it's interesting for a couple reasons. One, when the Raiders took him, I think we were both kind of caught off guard. It wasn't someone that either of us had on our radar, but I mean, he was one of my favorite players to watch in college. And, you know, I spend my Saturdays pretty much stapled to the couch with beer and chicken wings. So I've seen a lot of Lynn Bowden, and I'm really excited to hear from Josh because he's going to have great insight onto the type of player and person that Lynn is.
Well, then let's just jump right to our feature interview with Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader. Our guest on this Friday edition of the Raiders Talk podcast is Lexington Herald Leader, University of Kentucky football writer Josh Moore. And he's here to really give us a deep dive and a breakdown into third round Raiders NFL draft pick Lynn Bowden Jr., a kid that can do pretty much everything. He played running back and wide receiver and quarterback for the University of Kentucky. He was the Paul Hornung Award winner and a first team All-American. And Josh, you can follow him on Twitter at JoshMooreHL and read all of his great stuff at Kentucky.com. So, Josh, my first question to you is this, is when you hear Lynn Bowden go in the third round to the Raiders as a running back, what was your immediate reaction to hearing that news?
Yeah, when you see a guy like Lynn, you know, who comes to UK as a quarterback out of high school, and then they're trying to turn him into a wide receiver, and it made a lot of progress towards doing that his first 2 years on campus, especially his second year there in Lexington. And then he has to run the ball most of the time at Kentucky his final year on campus. You kind of start wondering as you go, you know, and you see how much success he had with that. You know, so I was asking a lot of people leading up to the draft, like, is this a guy that, you know, can he be drafted as a running back? Like, is that kind of an option there? And, you know, you hear mixed things. And with the NFL draft, I mean, the thing you learn about it pretty quickly is people, you can find somebody to tell you anything if you're really trying hard enough.
Yeah.
So, you take that for what it's worth. But there was a lot of, you know, the thing that came up the most often when you hear about, you know, Lynn, it was the versatility. And the UK's coaches throughout the year said, you know, this isn't going to hurt his draft stock. In fact, it's probably going to help it because it's kind of showing what, you know, what he can do, the sacrifices he's willing to make to be a winner. Because, I mean, honestly, that really was Kentucky's best option at that point. A quarterback was throwing Lynn back there and letting him do his thing. And I mean, if he'd been doing – I mean, he put up some crazy numbers here. And if he'd been doing it from the start of the season, you know, before they had two quarterbacks get hurt, who knows what. I mean, he would have – you're talking Heisman potential numbers. You know, he would have been in the running for sure probably for that. So you get excited about, you know, seeing what he can do with the Raiders. I know John Gruden's obviously a pretty talented offensive mind. They drafted, you know, it's what, Tua? I mean, because it's kind of like they drafted three receivers in a way because you got Lynn and then the other two guys. It was kind of funny, you know, on draft night you're looking at you kind of in a way you're like, man, did they just say running back because they didn't want to offend the other receiver that they took? That's kind of like goes through my head. But, you know, you get excited. I mean, I would think, you know, having all that talent, all that young, you know, new weapons around there will be interesting. And I would bet, you know, with Lynn at least, you know, they'll try him in probably a lot of different spots and see what he can do and probably throw him back and return some. He was, you know, he did a little bit less that, you know, his last year there at UK just because, you know, you can't have your quarterback returning punts. You know, it's not very smart, you know, for his health probably. But it'll be fun to see what he does there in Las Vegas. It's, you know, it's obviously a lot of excitement, you know, new city and everything else. I think it'll be good, you know, to see what he can achieve.
Yeah, and Josh, you mentioned the versatility. Obviously, that's a big thing. But as you watched Lynn go from high school quarterback to slot receiver to college Wildcat quarterback, what's the most impressive individual part of his game to you?
Yeah, I think his vision. I mean, that's kind of the constant thing throughout, you know, whether you're playing receiver, running back, quarterback, special teams. That's a thing, you know, you see a lot. I was talking earlier this week to Stevie Johnson, another former UK receiver who he went on and played 8-9 years in the NFL. And he, you know, mentioned, you know, and we're kind of doing like this series of former UK guys that we were kind of catching up with. And I asked him, you know, like, who's been your favorite player to watch? And he brought up Lynn and was just bragging about his vision. And he referenced back to his freshman year when mostly what he did was return punts and stuff. But he's like, man, you could see it then. You know, he's looking 3 or 4 yards down the field, making moves, you know, 3 or 4 yards ahead of when he makes them. And you can just see, I mean, he's like right then, he's like, that's NFL. He's, you know, he's NFL talent. And then obviously, you know, he does the same thing. And I think that's what, you know, when you, even if he'd been drafted and you called him a receiver, I think when you see him in space and operate the way he had to, when everybody knew that he was going to run the ball this year, I mean, it's not like it was a surprise, you know, he was running the ball, like what, something like 70 or 80% of the plays. So you're, and to still be able to make moves and to get into space and evade a defender or two before you end up breaking away, because he's not like, you know, he's fast, but he's not like the fastest guy, you know, when you're talking, you know, receivers and running backs, but you know, he's just pretty smart and can see what's happening, and that goes a long way.
When the initial conversation came up and it became necessary for him to switch to that quarterback spot, what was his immediate reaction? Was he accepting of it or not? And was he at all concerned that it might hurt his draft stock? Ultimately, maybe it didn't, but what was that initial a reaction to it? And did he warm up to it? Did he get more excited after, you know, like what was his reaction to the initial conversation? And then as he got into playing that position?
Yeah, so they used him. So he, you know, was in some Wildcat packages, you know, the first couple of years on campus, and you know, so it was something like he wasn't, you know, went from never playing to not. And again, like he was, you know, he played quarterback in high school, so it's something he was at least familiar with, you know, being at the position. To hear him tell it, you'd think that he was, you know, lobbying for it as soon as, because, you know, Terry Wilson, the guy who won 10 games the year before and was returning, goes down the second game of the season. I mean, to hear Lynn tell it, he was lobbying to be, you know, quarterback from the moment Terry went down, but they had a backup, a quality backup, and then he got hurt, and then they still, you know, but he was well, you know, he was more banged up, you know, they kind of rode him for a few more games, and I mean, the coaches would say maybe a little longer than they should have. But so Lynn, they throw Lynn in at the end of it was the fifth game at South Carolina. The only touchdown they scored the whole game was him. Like they went down, it was like 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter and scored, you know, it was the only drive they ended up leaving Columbia with a score on. So then they had a bye week and were able to kind of really, really, you know, they'd seen Lynn and been practicing with him, but really kind of gear the offense around what his skills were and be able to see what they could do with him back there. And he was pumped about it, man. He was just ready to go. he, you know, never said a word. He was never worried about the draft stock thing. The only thing, I mean, I think he obviously wanted to you know, show what he could do as a receiver and be able to demonstrate that. But I don't, I mean, I'm not sure if he'd come, you know, and had been playing receiver all year that he would have went any higher than he did. I mean, maybe he ends up in the second round. But you look at what he was able to achieve, and because I think the sacrifice, you know, quote unquote sacrifice, became part of his image, mm-hmm. and that kind of willingness to do whatever it takes to win kind of made up for what he didn't have in terms of game tape and being able to show his skills, you know, as a receiver, as a pass catcher, you know, consistency, reeling in those balls, you know, the deep stuff. I think, you know, so you know, he'll have to obviously show that now. I mean, because he's going to want to, you know, keep a job. But I think, you know, as far as being a draft, you know, a potential draftee, it didn't really hurt him. And I think he was kind of aware of that in the moment.
I mean, a lot of talk about John Gruden's offense, obviously, is how complex it is, all the terminology. And him and Mike Mayock both said when they met with Lynn, they gave him a quick install, and Lynn was able to just kind of spit everything back to them like no problem. And obviously, going from high school quarterback to not playing quarterback and then playing quarterback in the SEC says a lot about Lynn's football IQ. So I wanted to get your gauge on how smart of a football player Lynn Bowden is.
Yeah, I think after the versatility, you probably – and I would say versatility, but maybe some people would say the IQ is the number one thing, because he – I mean, that you hear that a lot from the coaches about how fast he picked up the offense. And that was part of what made it so easy for them to put him back there at quarterback, because he kind of was – he knew what was – kind of how the whole offense functioned. And you would talk to linemen, especially there early on, when they were first still kind of getting used to blocking him, they were having a more hard of a time adjusting to him than they were, you know, or than he was to having to kind of follow them and do what they were doing, because they just weren't used to having a guy back there, you know, trying to make reads and trying to find the gaps and really, and try, you know, a guy who honestly didn't throw it much. And I think that was the funny thing, that, you know, there was a period there where we started wondering, you know, the local guys here started wondering, like, well, what if UK, what if they came to Lynn and said, you know, if you want to be a quarterback in the NFL, like, would you want to, you know, what that would look like if you could, you know, if they offered that to him. And because he would have, I mean, if he wanted to be a quarterback, he would have had to come back another year and throw, because the throwing was kind of, he never got that. Yeah, that never really worked out for him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that obviously didn't happen. But I think that – but it's not because of an intelligence thing. I think it was just a, you know, you're not used to doing it. And especially in high school when he was playing quarterback, you're usually better than everybody. You're probably better than everybody you've ever lined up against at that level. So you, why throw the ball when you can just, you know, juke them and make them look like idiots out there just running around. So it's kind of, you know, a testament to his abilities overall, mentally and physically, that he was able to achieve what he did.
Was there any serious consideration to him coming back for his senior year, whether it was to be a full-time, you know, quarterback and to try to transition to that position in the pros, or maybe just in general for him coming back for his senior year? Any serious talk about that, or did it always seem to you that he was committed to going pro?
No, yeah, I don't think it was ever consideration. I think, I mean, it was something, you know, going into the season, kind of everybody thought, you know, you need to show the receiver skills, you need to do all that. But then as things kind of progressed, it was kind of, you know, I think everybody kind of presumed from the start, this is Lynn's last year. He was, I mean, because he's a junior, he left early, played since he was a true freshman, which, you know, increasingly is becoming less common at Kentucky, which, you know, a lot of play like your Alabamas and stuff, that's, you know, true freshmen are barely ever playing. But at a place like Kentucky, you know, if you've got a talented guy as a true freshman, you're going to throw him back there, you're going to throw him to the Wolves. And Lynn was always, you know, open to that. And so I think that was part of, you know, you see what he did in 3 years. If he'd really wanted to play quarterback, and maybe there was a moment there, but I think he was even kind of, you know, realistic about what that would have taken. I don't know if size, it would have been an uphill battle. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy, you know, given how he's kind of responded to everything else, I'm sure he would have found a way to make it work. But if you can be a third round, you know, if you're looking at being drafted in the third round, maybe a second round top pick, why come back to school, man? I mean, when you've got a kid, you know, you've got the family stuff going on, you can make, you know, several million dollars right out of the gate and,
potentially a lot more if you go and continue doing what you're doing. So, you know, why go to school for another year? The UK, they've got a lot of programs in place where they pretty much let these guys come back and finish school whenever they want to. So why not take advantage of that?
Josh, how is Lynn, how did he grow as a person maturity wise from when he came in to his junior year? I know when he came in his freshman year, he's kind of had some Twitter rant issues and maybe wasn't happy with the position he was playing at slot receiver. How did you see him grow maturity wise during his time in Kentucky?
Yeah. So yeah, that obviously that incident was pretty, you know, around here because again, because he was like, you know, he's the highest rated skill player that signed with Kentucky as far as, you know, your like start your recruiting service rankings. As long as those have been around, he's kind of the guy that's been the biggest recruit they've gotten. And is one of the biggest recruits regardless of position they've gotten from outside the state the whole time that, you know, that's all that kind of stuff's been going on. And so this guy's mad his first year on campus because he's not really doing that much other than special teams, you know, in a few spots, you know, receivers duties here and there. And they kind of keep him, you know, kind of keep his head, you know, where it needs to be as far as, you know, looking at the bigger picture. And a lot of that had to do with Vince Murrow. You know, they're both from Youngstown, Ohio, a lot of connection there. And he's kind of like the, you know, I don't know, he's like the recruit whisperer or something. I mean, he just has a really good, you know, he's really got a good sense of everything going on and he's just pretty straight-laced dude. So he, you know, you go through that. And then just, you know, from a personal experience, I didn't cover Kentucky football, you know, explicitly until last year. So I kind of got to see the end result, you know, kind of peak Lynn. But my, so I previously covered high school sports and I went, so there's like a Kentucky Ohio All-Star basketball game that happens every year. And Lynn was playing in that game because he was also a really good basketball player. And he, I remember so I interviewed him because we were like, okay, this guy's committed to UK, signed with UK. We can kind of, you know, get a chance to talk to him. And it was like pulling teeth. I mean, like, and that's the case with a lot of guys like
sure.
that, you know.
Yeah.
You're getting, you know, just everybody wants to talk to you because you're the guy and you're, you know, you either get used to it or you don't. And UK does a good job, but once they get on campus, they really start, you know, kind of training them for stuff and they get more comfortable and they can be their own person a little bit more. And, you know, you just, cause I mean, when you're going, you know, when you're like, even when you're like the big man on campus at your high school, you're still, you know, that you're still in a bubble, like you're protected. You're the, you know, you can stay there and everybody knows you and you're kind of, you know, when you go somewhere else, it's scary, you know, even Lexington, which is pretty, I mean, pretty generous to all its, you know, athletes here at UK. I think, you know, that's something that scares you a little bit. It would scare me. I never had somebody knocking down my door, trying to throw a camera in my face and microphones in my face. So it's a, you can see that with him that how different he's been able to grow, you know, in media settings and things like that. And I think it's, you know, he still likes to tweet a lot, which is, you know, will probably keep some people on their toes. But I think early on, a lot of that was because people were just kind of, you know, UK fans are kind of crazy too. So that's part of it. But they look at everything and start nitpicking. And I think you kind of get used to, okay, Lynn's just his own, you know, sometimes he just does this, tweets weird things and it might sound like, oh man, what's wrong? And then he'll like tweet out 30 minutes later, oh, that's just a song lyric, guys. Don't worry about it. So,
a general theme of this Raiders draft class is getting guys that are ultra competitive. And it seems like Lynn fits into that category, you know, just as somebody with that intense motivation and competitive drive, whether it's proving people wrong or proving people right. Do you find that to be one of his kind of, maybe not directly related towards football, but is that a characteristic that you noticed? I mean, he kind of willed the Wildcats to victory several times there down the stretch.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think it goes back, going back to the, you know, having to run the ball all the time. I mean, you have to, it takes a certain kind of dude to know that every defense knows what's going to happen. I mean, cause it's not a trick. I mean, Eddie Grant, UK's offensive coordinator, at some point we were asking about it and about why it works. And he's like, Lynn, you know, it's like, because, you know, and they, I mean, they had an incredible offensive line. It was in the running for the Joe Moore Award for, you know, the best line in the nation. And a lot of those guys are coming back. So, and it had started a lot of games before last season. So, that's obviously a big component of it. But but you have to have, you know, you couldn't have just put anybody back there and had the same result. I don't know that UK has anybody on its roster now that's like Lynn as far as that just determination. I'm not saying there aren't guys. There's plenty of talented guys, but I don't know if there's guys on the roster that could, if you are in the same situation as you're in 2020, as you were last year, where you lose two quarterbacks, you know, five games in the season, that you can look at a guy, a skill guy on the roster and say, okay, go win us six games, take us to a bowl game. And then you suck at throwing all year. And then you throw a game winning touchdown pass in your last game of the season. Cause of course you did.
Yeah, I wanted to actually ask you about the Belk Bowl, and you know, Lynn obviously made a lot of headlines with that pregame punch. What did you make of that? Is he just kind of a fiery guy like that, or what was your kind of take on that whole situation?
I think he is kind of a little fiery, but honestly, that was weird. I mean, that whole deal, I don't know, and I wish I could give you more details, but for whatever reason, those guys, Virginia Tech and Kentucky's teams, were going back and forth with each other all week. I don't know what I mean. Maybe they were just trying to find a reason to get excited in the middle of December in Charlotte to, you know, like it was, I mean, but it was weird, man. It was, you know, but I will say, so with all the lead up, all the back and forth, it wasn't a surprise that something like that happened.
Yeah.
They were lucky, you know, that the way the rules were that they could get away with doing something like that before the refs kind of jurisdiction over the game, because Lynn would have probably gotten suspended, you know, if it'd been 10 minutes later that happened. So it's kind of, you know, and you obviously don't want stuff like that happening. And he kind of, you know, fessed up to that and, you know, apologized for it and kind of tried to explain it. But yeah, when you're going back and forth all week and then you see these guys and they all start bumping chests and, you know, you get your sweat going a little bit out there on the field and you're just trying to get excited about, you know, winning the Belk Bowl. You know, it's kind of, you know, something you're just trying to find ways to get excited about things. And then, you know, but yeah, it was kind of surprising because, you know, up to that point, I didn't remember anything from seeing anything like that from Lynn really during any of his seasons there in Lexington. So that was probably, I mean, more or less, I think that's probably an outlier in terms of, his personality as far as on field. But I mean, I do think he's definitely a fiery competitor. I mean, he's a guy that definitely gets a lot of joy and excitement out of, you know, going out there and doing what he does.
Yeah. I mean, you've talked about him growing up in Youngstown and obviously he has a chip on his shoulder. How did growing up in Youngstown, that area, kind of shape the player and the person that Lynn has become?
Oh, it had, you know, a huge influence because that place, I mean, I've never been, but from everything you kind of hear, it's pretty, you know, it can be pretty rough, kind of. It's a blue collar place, so that kind of just goes hand in hand. You and Kentucky, I mean, especially because Kentucky has a lot of influence from that area on its, you know, coaching staff. They kind of take that blue collar mentality to heart, and it works well. I mean, the way Kentucky kind of recruits and coaches really works for this state. There are places that I don't know that it would work as well, but it really works well here. They basically run it like a Big Ten program is really what they do. And you can see that in just kind of the types of guys they bring in and what they are trying to, you know, get going here. And Lynn kind of, you know, rolls right into that. And you take somebody with his talents and being forged in this place where there's just a lot of poverty, a lot of, you know, have to work hard, have to go through and you know, know that, you know, you might wake up one day and somebody's got shot outside, you know, three blocks down the road or something. I mean, that makes you, you have to be tough. I mean, you mentally, you know, as much as anything to be, and you know, to be able to handle something like that, it's not easy. And I think that shows in Lynn's personality. And yeah, he might rub some people wrong, you know, sometimes because of that. But I think he's a nice dude. I mean, I really do think he's a good person. I don't, you know, get the impression that he's any worse for having gone through that.
And just one last question from us, and thank you so much for the time. You know, talked so much about the sacrifices that he made for the program and putting it on his back. What do you think his overall legacy is going to be? How do you think he's going to be remembered by the University of Kentucky and its fans?
Oh, I would say as one of the best players that's ever played here. I mean, I don't think that's hyperbole. I mean, and that's in part because, I mean, there haven't been a whole lot of, you know, I mean, Kentucky football, as far as, you know, its total history, has a lot of guys, like a lot of, you know, great players that have played here. I mean, obviously, like a Tim Couch. I mean, there aren't many schools that have had a number one overall pick, you know, especially of Kentucky's, you know, get in relation to like the Alabamas and Ohio States and places like that. I mean, he's definitely, I mean, and especially one of the best, you know, just skill guys, for sure. Because when you look at the you know, the list of names and a lot of these records, you know, I mean, they were breaking records last year that have been around for 40 years, 50 years. And a lot of it had to do with Lynn. And so I think you look at that. And if nothing else, that single season is one of the best single seasons. You'll always be able to point to that as one of the best single seasons that's ever been, you know, that's ever happened, or been put together by a Kentucky athlete, I would say, in any sport, because it's just, you know, I don't think it's a surprise that he was able to do it, but it's certainly not something that anyone expected, and it kind of came out of nowhere. And that's always fun, right? That's why we love sports. You know, we like having expectations and then having those expectations met, but we really like it when we have expectations and either have them met in a way we didn't, you know, see them happening, or having them exceeded. And I think going into the last season, you know, a lot of people thought, okay, UK lost a lot of talented dudes, had several guys get drafted in the NFL, but they're at a point where they should still make a bowl game and be competitive. And then when you lose two quarterbacks, you reevaluate that, you know, expectation a little bit. And then to see, you know, Lynn just have so much success and the team have so much success after he got thrown into a completely different role, says a lot about the program and what he was able to provide for. So I think his legacy, you know, he could go, if he never does anything in the NFL, it ain't going to, you know, hurt what he did at Kentucky at all.
Well, Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader, thank you so much for the time. We kept it a little longer than we planned, but it was all so good and so riveting. And I think the Raiders fans are going to come away with a really three-dimensional picture of who Lynn Bowden is. You can follow him on Twitter at Josh Moore HL. Check out his excellent writing at Kentucky.com. Sir, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, I appreciate you, fellas. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, hopefully Lynn and all the other guys can give you something fun to watch there in Las Vegas next year.
Man, Josh, I don't know if we're just getting lucky or just so many of these college beat writers that we're talking to, A, they really know their stuff, and they're giving a lot of really good anecdotes and insight about these Raiders draft picks, and Josh Moore was no different. I really feel like I got to know Lynn Bowden a lot better, not only about what he could do as a Raider, but what he did as a Wildcat and how that relates to his professional career. What was a big kind of thing that you took away from that conversation?
The first thing I grabbed onto was just Josh talking about how much Lynn's vision impressed him, because I think when the Raiders drafted him, when they said running back, you and I were kind of like, ah, that seems kind of weird. Like, they need maybe a bigger back, a guy who can just kind of line up and take carries away from Josh Jacobs to give him a breather. But I think what Josh said about his vision, how NFL player, former NFL player Stevie Johnson is so impressed when Lynn was a freshman, saying, hey, you know, he sets cuts up 3, 4, 5 yards ahead. I think that really speaks to what the Raiders see, not only as a running back, return potential, and as a receiver, a gadget player. I mean, he's just a guy that John Gruden is going to want to find ways to get the ball into his hands in any way.
Yeah, and I liked hearing how easy it was for him to transition to all these different positions. And yes, he ran more than anything else, and defenses knew what was coming when he was with the Wildcats. But still, the football IQ is something that Josh Moore talked a lot about, maybe being his second best attribute. And I think that that's going to pair really well to a complex offense and a lot of different things that John Gruden could have Lynn Bowden doing.
There's no doubt. We already heard when they were at the NFL scouting combine, the Mayock and John Gruden brought Lynn in for a quick install, gave him Raiders verbiage, and in 15 minutes they said he spat it right back out, got everything 100%, and then when he left the room, they looked at each other and they're like, hey, this guy's a freaking Raider. So, and I think, you know, we talk about football IQ, and yeah, he was running the ball most of the time, but he still had to direct the offense. He made audibles. His final play as a college player was on the fly, an audible a post pass when he doesn't throw at all. So the guy is, he's really athletic, but he's also really smart.
Yeah, and I think something that ties into all these things, and I like that he's an athlete that can do everything, but we're talking a lot about the mental qualities that make him good, and that ties into maybe part of his legacy and part of what makes him good that Josh Moore talked a lot about, and that is his competitive drive. You know, this is a guy that grew up in a you know, tougher neighborhood. It's a guy that has a giant chip on his shoulder, a guy with great competitive drive to really kind of will this team forward. He seemed to accept the transition to signal caller easily, that he wanted to do it, and then he excels. And even when everybody knows what's coming, right, he's still able to generate offense to the tune of what I've lost my stats here, like 170 rushing yards per game or something like that. Some crazy number. Yeah, that was second overall in the SEC. I mean, all time, I think. Just for a quarterback, I just think that's so impressive. His competitive drive, I think, is going to fit in with what the Raiders like and what they like to kind of have him do, because he's going to come in here, he's going to have a big role, and that he's going to have to earn his touches.
Yeah, that belief in himself, that edge, like you said. I mean, the quarterbacks go down and automatically Lynn's going to the coaches saying, hey, just put me in. Just let me do my thing. And they're like, I don't really know. You know, you're a slot receiver. No, just let me do it. And he goes out. They put him in after a bye week. They install a brand new Wildcat offense, and he wills them to six wins into a bowl game win. And I think that chip on his shoulder is something the Raiders obviously love. I know in high school, obviously from Youngstown, Ohio, he dreamed of playing for Ohio State, right? Everyone in Ohio wants to play for Ohio State. And he's a really good player. And they don't come to recruit him until very, very late. And he learns they're coming to his high school to recruit him. And he skips. He like calls in sick. He doesn't want to talk to him. He says, I'm going to Kentucky. And I think that kind of attitude is really going to fit in well with the group that John Gruden and Mike Mack assembled.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, he goes and maybe he has a national championship ring with the Buckeyes that he doesn't have with the Wildcats. But he made the most of that experience and gave some glory moments in football to a basketball school. And Josh Moore was saying that he's going to be remembered as one of the best players, one of the best skilled players in program history. And that's a guy that, as Josh was saying, made sacrifices when it was necessary. At times when maybe there were question marks about if he switched back to quarterback, if it was going to hurt his draft stock or what have you, it turns out that it absolutely didn't. And maybe he would have landed in the exact same spot. I think all those things are key, because he went from that kind of – he led the team in receiving yards his sophomore year, really, as a junior as well, even though he only played five games at the position. Can't pass the ball to yourself. But nonetheless, he was still able to be productive there and kind of maybe show enough in a number of different roles that he excited John Gruden. Now, we heard on when he was drafted, announced – as a running back. Now, John Gruden and Mike Mayock said it was more for the reason of that's where he's going to start. He's going to learn how to play running back. It wasn't necessarily kind of the kind of funny, thought process that Josh Moore had, that maybe they didn't want to draft three wideouts in a row. They didn't want to offend Brian Edwards and Henry Ruggs with three wideouts. But nonetheless, he's not just going to be a standard running back, even as a rookie, no matter what, you know, Mike Mayock was saying, he's going to start here. He may start there, but I think he's going to finish doing a lot more than just lining up behind the quarterback and taking handoffs.
No doubt. In the pre-draft process, he was described as the NFL's next unicorn, which, you know, for NBA fans, it's a little bit of a basketball term. But I remember reading an interview with Lynn Bowden that he did, and they asked him, you know, are you going to be the next Taysom Hill, next Lamar Jackson? And he said, nah, man, I'm more athletic than those guys. So I think the labeling as a running back, like you said, is a way to get him on the field. It's a way for him to learn terminology, verbiage of one position, but he's going to move all around that IQ, that vision. That's just going to accelerate, I think, his ability to pick up the offense. And look, like we said, this offseason has been all about trying to catch up to the Chiefs, and this guy is clearly another huge weapon that they didn't have last year when the offense was pretty mundane and boring. No offense. So I think that Lynn Bowden, I'm more encouraged than I was pre-interview with Josh Moore about Lynn Bowden's potential.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to be the goal just to get the guy the ball in space. And we're going to see a lot of things happen with him. I thought it was interesting during the pre-draft process, I saw a comp to a Deebo Samuel. Now, that comp was made when I think people thought he was going to be a wide receiver first, and not, and we're saying wide receiver, running back. He's going to be a joker in the Raiders offense, which essentially means John Gruden can put him wherever he wants, right? More than having that, defined spot on the football field. The reason why I bring up the Deebo Samuel thing, even though, you know, he's not really categorized as a wideout like Deebo Samuel is, they're about the same size. Deebo's 6 foot, 216. Lynn is 5'11", 204. But Deebo did a lot of jet sweeps and maybe running with the football. He was very good after the catch and obviously had more receptions than rushes and things like that. But I think a good season would be to flip those numbers, right? To where then you look at Lynn Bowden maybe having, 400 yards rushing, and maybe a couple hundred yards receiving, maybe with some fewer opportunities. I think that those types of numbers, kind of being able to use him in those different ways, even though he's not going to be Deebo Samuel, I just think his ability to run through contact, the yards after contact, I think are going to be big. All that plays into everything that we're talking about. The vision, the football IQ, the toughness, the competitive drive, that those are the types of things that you could see. And in this versatile role, I think it could definitely be interesting to see, how it all plays out. John Gruden, I don't think, is going to say very much about what his role is going to be until it's unveiled. But you got to think he's at the dry erase board coming up with new and unique ways to use him.
Absolutely. I think Deebo Samuel comp is fair, just kind of what you were saying early in Debo's rookie year. I know Kyle Shanahan almost exclusively used him on jet sweeps and little screens because they just wanted to get him the ball and he didn't really take that receiver jump until the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. And I think the Raiders will look at Limbo in a similar way. Like you said, it's just find a way to stick the ball in the guy's hands and let him break a few tackles, turn 4 into 10, 10 to 12, and just, give the offense another dimension that teams have to account for, which will once again open everything up for Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, and Henry Ruggs.
And that's like, those are things that he can do on offense. The weird thing is that there's so much talk of the running back, wide receiver, quarterback hybrid, that special teams is an area where he was impactful as well. Just looking back to, I believe it's his college averages, 13.2 yards per punt return. And I have it at 24.4 yards per kickoff return. Those are the types of numbers, that I think overall, I think that you would be pretty excited about. Those numbers that I just gave you guys were for the 2019 season. Overall, he had 71 kickoff returns for a 23-yard average and 9 punt returns for a 22-yard average and 2 touchdowns. So the guy has some wiggle, and that's an area where I think the Raiders could use some immediate help.
Absolutely. I think with Dwayne Harris gone, and I mean, we know how fast Henry Ruggs is, but they're not going to, I don't think they want to put Henry Ruggs back there a lot. That's just, that seems like a gamble with a guy that you just drafted number 12 overall. I think Lynn Bowden's perfect for punt returns, kick returns, because like you said, that wiggle, that ability to break tackles. I mean, if you can get 15, 20 yards on a punt return, that changes the game, right? That flips the field. It changes the entire outlook of a drive, of a quarter. So I think I could definitely see him being the punt returner this year.
And I think it'll be interesting, just what you were saying about Deebo, that his activity as a wideout picked up, and just with these draft picks and rookies in general, that we expect kind of an ascent throughout the course of the year because, the weird offseason and stuff like that. Lynn Bowden is in Vegas, but as we look at it, we still have Josh Jacobs, who's going to be the feature back. We still have a lot of wide receivers that need touches and tight ends. But it seems like he could carve a good niche for himself, where whether it's total all-purpose yards, right, where maybe he could find a way to touch the ball between returns and receptions and rushes, I don't know, 12, 15 times per game, right, to use his explosiveness and kind of create that, you know, impact, you know, as a rookie, even if he's not really defined as a starter, you know, anywhere on the field. I mean, do you think that you know, the expectations are fair, despite the fact that they have a lot of, you know, guys that deserve touches, that, you know, that he could kind of find his way early, even though he has a lot of learning left to do? Or do you think that we should kind of pull back on the hype a little bit, you know, and maybe he's going to ease himself in, you know, more than what I'm building up right now?
Yeah, I mean, maybe pull back a little bit to start, but I think what you outlined is pretty fair, I think. I mean, look, the Raiders and John Gruden didn't draft these guys to wait, right? They need offensive playmakers. They need explosive plays. And this is a guy who can help give them that. I mean, obviously, Josh Jacobs is going to be the feature back, but there's nothing that says Lynn Bowden can't line up in the slot 8-10 snaps. There's nothing that says, you know, they can't both be in the backfield on a couple of snaps. So I think it's just going to be up to John Gruden to be really inventive, to get all these guys the ball, because he went from having an offense where he had 2 to 3, 2.5 weapons to like 5 or 6.
Yeah, and it's a finding a way to accentuate all of those guys' strengths. And I think that's going to be interesting to see how the ball gets dispersed in the run game and the pass game. The offensive line can definitely kind of make that hold up. And it's going to be another intriguing addition as we move towards this 2020 season and training camps and all those types of things. And I think that's going to wrap it up for another edition of these deep dives into the Raiders draft picks. Once again, thank you so much to Josh Moore from the Lexington Herald Leader. Again, one last time, you can follow him at Josh Moore HL and read his stuff at Kentucky.com. And we're going to keep on trucking with this, right, Josh? Next week, Brian Edwards, a guy that we both like a lot, somebody that we could break down as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm really enjoying these talks. I think we're getting a lot of good insight into, you know, what we imagine is going to be another building block class.
And thank you guys so much for listening, for downloading. Subscribe anywhere you can find your podcast: Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Art19, and always subscribe to the YouTube channel, NBC Sports Bay Area /California. We have a whole Raiders feed. It is loaded with good stuff. And starting next week, we're going to bring you more of a video component. You're going to be able to, you know, kind of see us interact and talk, and it's going to be kind of more of a show and less of just a podcast. All that stuff is fun. So thank you so much, Josh. I guess I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Hey, we'll see you in the room.
Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.